gold-plated diapers.
It was akin to when we found out that one of the lead animators on Ed, Edd n Eddy got killed because... Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
police shot him.
Yeah. He had like a mental illness or something.
Yeah. And he was like running around naked with knives or something like that.
I don't think he was naked. I think somebody thought he was attacking somebody when he was really like kneeling next to somebody or something.
I think he had a knife, but yeah, but he wasn't like...
He wasn't actually
thought he was
going
to charge the police or somebody and they shot him.
Just killed him.
He was the... Creator or animator?
Just lead animator.
Lead animator. Okay. So that's Akin to Ducky merger story.
In terms of like shock value of did somebody behind one of your childhood.
Did Bubba react the same way to Ed n Eddy?
Yeah.
Was he crying?
Bubba always freaking watches Ed n Eddy. And they took it off of Netflix, so now he'll actually load it up on YouTube on the smart TV and watch it. Like he'll look up full episodes on YouTube.
So that's his comfort show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your comfort show? Childhood cartoon that you just...
I haven't been watching any childhood cartoons, but, you know, whenever I come home these days, because I've finished up a lot of shows I have been watching, I've been watching the latest season of Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers is a good show. The latest season, I feel, is very disappointing, though. I don't really find it that funny. The first season and a good chunk of the second season were amazing.
This one came out real fast after the last one, I feel like.
Like they went right into it?
Yeah. Sorry,
the one where he's a taxi driver as a side job, I think might be my favorite of all time.
He brings back the cross-dressers.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, I think it's time to start.
It is.
Well, jellyheads, welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum,
the show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture,
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show.
We're your hosts, Luke and
Matt.
Buckley.
And Lucas Wilson.
That's not my real name.
Then what is it?
I can't tell you.
It's not Howard Noslew, is it?
Oh, dang it.
So, Luke, how are you doing?
Not bad. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. Feel like we haven't done the show in a while.
Yeah, we've been having trouble keeping this going on our...
Because not enough people like it. Is that why? Not enough people leaving reviews?
It would be great. It would be great.
The show's just too niche, obscure.
No. The show that people keep finding these days are... Last Coin, and they keep leaving disappointing reviews because they hate how we reviewed these games.
Somebody really took issue with my review of Infinite Undiscovery.
Yeah, and they took umbrage with our review of Metro 2033.
We're busy guys. We don't have time to finish some of these games that we play.
He listened to 5 minutes. He said, the title of his review was, "Listen to 5 minutes, couldn't listen anymore." And then his review was about how we didn't know what we were talking about, we're terrible. And then I was like, what is he talking about? How could we have talked about that much to be disappointed in the first 5 minutes? I go back and I listened, and we don't really get all that bad in it.
Anyone listening right now to load up an episode of Last Coin and see if you can listen to the entire thing.
Yeah.
Let us know if it's really that bad.
There are some that are hard to listen to. They're old.
Like what?
There are some episodes where we were just kind of like, we didn't really know what we were doing. But there's some gems in there.
One.
Come on. Our Pirate 101 episode is
that
great.
That was pretty good. I think the best one ever was the season 1 year in review.
Oh, year in
that
review?
That we lost.
Oh, but we lost. That was great.
I remember I was rolling.
Laughing, good time. And then our poor imitation of trying to do that. April Fool's was fun.
The conspiracy entertainment ones.
And conspiracy entertainment series was great.
The JRPG series
JRPG
was fun.
Yeah. And then Robopon.
Yep.
I think Robopon was our last.
It seems like when Kay left the show, that's when things started getting a little, what are we doing now?
Yeah, Kevin came on and it just became a review of good.
Thanks, Kevin. You ruined everything.
Well, the new format's fun now. We have a really good discussion.
It is. We just need people to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more mainstream now, but.
Yeah. It's the cast.
Yeah. So are we going to get into
these
stories?
We're going to get into these topics because then we're going to run out of memory and then, you know.
Nobody ever likes it when they run out of memory, including people.
Beep bloop.
So you want me to go first, Luke?
Yes, Matt, I do want you to go first. You know why? Because I want you to go first. Is that philosophical? A little redundant? Redundancy is my other middle name.
What's your first middle name?
Robot.
Trying to tell me something, Luke.
Beep.
So, the first thing that anybody who's ever listened to this show could tell you about me is I love quantum physics.
Do you?
All right. Might have been exaggerating there. But I do really like learning about scientific stuff, even though
I do
terrible at just about every academic science course I've ever taken in my life. Just really fascinates me. And when you mix that in with metaphysical stuff and, like, get philosophy involved and I think you see where this is going.
Is it one of those articles about us being nothing but a hologram?
Close.
Simulation?
No. But...
in a dream.
Same. Will you let me finish? I said quantum physics. So, the same kind of idea as in the big picture. So, this article is from IFL Science.
Oh, one of your, someone's frequenting.
One of your preferred stomping grounds. I'm encroaching on your territory, I know. Oh, no. Please forgive me.
Oh, no.
The title of this article is Experiment Provides Further Evidence That Reality Doesn't Exist Until We Measure It.
Ah, I saw that posted but did not read it.
Well, let me clarify and elaborate. Physicists have succeeded in confirming one of the theoretical aspects of quantum physics. Subatomic objects switch between particle and wave states when observed while remaining in a dual state beforehand. I have no idea what that means. So, to continue... in the macroscopic world, we are used to waves being waves and solid objects being particle-like. Follow me so far?
Uh-huh.
Okay. However, quantum theory holds that for the very small, this distinction breaks down. Light can behave either as a wave or as a particle. The same goes for objects with mass like electrons, which raises the question of what determines when a photon or electron will behave like a wave or a particle. So how do these things decide which they will be at a particular time? The dominant model of quantum mechanics holds that it is when a measurement is taken that the decision takes place. Erwin Schrödinger, hopefully not related to Schrödinger's cat, came up with... oh, no, it is. Came up with his
famous... Yeah, that's what the whole thought experiment is about. It's not a psychological... it's like a... for some reason, it's... I'm not entirely sure why it was grabbed onto the psychological field. Yeah, it's a physics thought experiment.
Oh, okay. Famous thought experiment using a cat to ridicule this idea. Physicists think that this quantum behavior breaks down on a large scale, so Schrödinger's cat would not really be both alive and dead. However, in the world of the very small, strange theories like this seem to be the only way to explain what we see. So. The experiment involved creating a Bose? I wonder if that's related to, like, the sound Bose. A Bose-Einstein condensate of around 100 helium atoms, and atoms were passed through a grate made by two laser beams, and this showed that atoms would either pass through as a particle or both, like a wave.
This is some exciting podcasting we've got going here.
Well, I like the idea of reality not existing unless it's measured first. So... what this boils down to is when these experiments were conducted, the decision of whether how these particles acted wasn't made until they were actually measured.
Okay.
So the measurement determines reality.
Now, is this at all related to where you can't determine the speed of a particle and know its location at the same time because your observation of one changes the other?
Sure. That makes sense to me. But that follows the same line of thought, that reality isn't determined until it's measured.
Realized.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if something being real,
mm-hmm.
So reality doesn't exist until reality realizes reality's reality?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm getting here?
Pretty much. Although, this seems to only be taking place at a subatomic level. At least at this point. But then if you think about it, if we move this to a broader scale, so we have the universe, right?
All right.
And we exist in this universe and we're living beings. Now, if there was no life in the universe, there would be nothing to recognize the universe. So would the universe actually exist?
Wait. Now, what is the term for, like, measuring? Like, just looking at something? Like, because then, if that's the case, then what? The universe didn't exist until we evolved the ability to think? Wait, what is going on here?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, if the subatomic air doesn't exist before we observe it, but okay, those things make up the things that make us up.
And how would they come to be in the first place?
How could things that they're made up of exist?
You're coming up with a very elaborate mathematical proof, Luke. You might want to contact
Dr. Schlurpen Flubendube.
Dr. Wheeler.
I was hoping it'd be a more exotic name.
What are you saying? That people with normal names can't come up with these elaborate theories?
Normal Anglo-Saxon names are just, he doesn't know much. It used to be like von Stupenpoop. It doesn't sound German. It's not credible.
So I'm gonna drop this bomb to end things. So the article ends with, in the bizarre world of quantum mechanics, events rippling back in time may not seem that much stranger than things like spooky action at a distance. Whatever that means.
What?
It's highlighted as if there's a hyperlink there. I might have
spooky action
an IFL distance. Science free fall going on. Hold on. We'll revisit this. Spooky action at a distance, or even something being a wave and a particle at the same time. However, Truscott said, this experiment can't prove that this is wrong interpretation, but it seems wrong. And given what we know from elsewhere, it is much more likely that only when we measure the atoms do their observable properties come into reality. So, Lucas, what does this mean? Being the quantum physics expert that you are.
Yes. All that time I spent at CERN camp playing with their miniature Large Hadron Colliders.
You talk about this. I'm going to look at the spooky action at a distance.
Talk about it? I'm not doing the article. Wait, talk what?
Talk about whatever you were just
talking about.
Whatever you were going to say.
Oh, okay.
About your experience at CERN camp.
CERN camp. Well, we showed up and we each got our own particle that we were going to atom smash at the end of the year, but we had to prove that we were responsible.
This camp took place over an entire year. When did this happen?
Well, it was like, you know, it was in December in the southern hemisphere. So it was summer then.
So when you came back here, a year had somehow passed?
No.
Then how were you going for a full year?
No, it was in December. So then
December of last year?
Yeah.
But it's May.
Just because I haven't been talking about it.
Did you find
a
time traveling particle that brought you back in time to now?
No! Why does it have to be now? Why do I have to have been at the camp now? Why?
You just said you were there last December.
Yes.
And you said that you had been there for a year.
No.
You said at the end of...
At the end of the year.
Okay. It
happened in December.
I thought you were talking about a year as in, like, a year's worth of this camp.
Not anymore.
All right. So you spent your holidays smashing particles.
Well, not until we proved that we could take care of them. So, like, you know, like the egg parenting experiment, we all carried around our own particle. Make sure it didn't explode or anything.
What happened to yours?
It made a satisfying explosive end.
Did you blow up CERN camp?
My lawyers say I can neither confirm nor deny what happened at CERN camp.
All right. So there's pending criminal action right now.
I also can neither confirm nor...
Is it a civil suit or a criminal suit? Lucas, is everything okay, man?
The fine people of CERN camp and I have yet to reach a conclusion concerning events at CERN camp.
All right.
And this should not tarnish your perception of CERN camp. As my lawyers have instructed me to tell you.
Is there going to be a CERN camp next year?
There's renewed optimism.
Okay. Because it sounds like fun, but that all the particle explosion stuff sounds a little... Like a lot could go wrong with that.
It can.
You know, I give up. I don't want to talk about this spooky thing. This is going to take too long. I'm done. There's some Einstein theory about a spooky thing in the distance. I'm going to give you guys the link. Do your own research. We'll see you at CERN camp. If there is one next year.
Oh my gosh.
Next topic.
Okay. I saved this a while ago. I don't know why I didn't bring it up before. Ready for this, Matthew?
Is this it from IFL?
It is from IFL. Science.com. Did I ever do about the one about the worm brain AI?
Nope.
All right. Well, this is something similar. Honeybee brain flies a drone. This was published in April 20th by Janet Fang. Kick-ass name, Janet. By
Janet what?
Fang.
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 Wow.
By digitally reconstructing the complete brain of the European honeybee, Apis mellifera, researchers with the Green Brain Project hope to one day create an autonomous flying robot that thinks, senses, and acts like the sophisticated pollinator. Probably because we're losing all the bees and we need robot bees to do their bidding.
Ah, but will robot honey
taste as good as real honey? Who knows, man?
There might be just that one intangible element that we can't reproduce.
All right. Bees and all other insects are miracles of engineering, which are we're nowhere near equating. If we could even recreate a fraction of their abilities in a robot system, then we would have made a tremendous advance. The honeybees are surprisingly advanced cognitive behaviors, despite how simple and small their brains are compared to that of vertebrates. They can do so much with so little. Right, because the hive mind, collectively, they have a larger brain. Let me get to the point here. All right, so far, the team comprised of researchers from the universities of Sheffield and Sussex have recreated the parts of the bee's brain that allows them to see and smell. Not only will this help us better understand both bee brains and human brains alike, but the team have also managed to upload their computer simulation, complete with thousands of virtual neurons, to an unmanned aerial vehicle.
A tiny one?
Actually, it's almost similar in like diameter to ours.
Okay. To so see... it does the same thing as a bee, but it's like 100 times the size.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is what it... Okay. All right, hold on. To see if their bee brain simulation can actually pilot an aircraft, they plugged the simulation into a quadcopter drone and allowed it to fly down a corridor. It ended up doing so without even running into anything. And another time, it was able to recognize the checkerboard pattern on the wall and use it to help navigate. This video below shows it. I mean, there's a lot more here. But, so what this is that it's not... a computer program. They just simulated a bee's brain.
But how? If it's not a computer program,
well,
what is it?
It's not specifically programmed to tell us, like, oh, if you see this, look out for this. Like, you know, look, robots, like, oh, the red thing lets you know that you go this way, or something like that. It's just putting the simulation in there and then giving those, like,
but it's got to be comprised of programming code, doesn't it?
It's simulating the neural synapses of a bee, of a brain.
Okay.
So it's behaving like a brain. It's not going like if this then that. It's just like, you know, like the on and off processes of sending signals to different parts of the. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like just think of like each brain cell as like an on off switch that just like everything. So it's not programmed to fly this helicopter, just stick it in there and then it just goes, and they could fly around. And it's like they simulated, like, you know, the seeing parts of the bee. So it's like, oh, I could see that.
Instead of this, we should just train bees to operate drones. Just have a bee in like a control room, and he's flying this giant pollen collector.
there's a great skit on Improv for Humans where this woman is terrified of bees, and of bees possibly chasing her in a car.
Okay.
And then somebody actually does, like, make a car for a bee, and a bee is chasing him, or the girl's in the car, or something like that. It's like a tiny chair, and the bee's driving the car, and they get pulled over. Anyway, but this happened, too, with, and they did this with an earthworm brain, I think. But they stuck it in a little moving robot, and it was able to determine, like, oh, I hit a wall, I should turn around and head in a different direction, just like in direct, like a real worm or something like that would, without like any specific program telling it that's what you need to do when you run into a wall.
Is that your reaction when you run into a wall?
Well, typically I don't run straight into a wall because I'm able to, that's not how I tell my surroundings because I'm not a dumb worm with no eyes. And I remember watching another thing a while ago, several years ago, on TV about how they took like some, like a smear of rat brain, used that, like hooked it up to a robot, like those brain cells. And they kept like, you know, they fed it like, you know, a liquid of nutrients that would keep the brain cells alive. And it like piloted this thing, this robot, just like the worm. And it was like moving around and there's like, it was super creepy.
So what's the ultimate purpose of this? Are we trying to create drones that are going to act like bees so they pollinate?
That sounds like what, because it's a green bee, I guess that could be what that is focused on. But I think the larger maybe picture here is artificial intelligence, because these are computer programs that are thinking for themselves in a way, based
that's
on
dangerous
based
territory,
on
Luke.
Based on how a brain works.
I mean, if Stephen Hawking is gravely concerned about developing this type of AI, then
yeah, he doesn't want us to have AIs or to meet aliens.
Which, I mean, yeah, that's, you gotta wonder where's your sense of adventure, but at the same time, that's, it could definitely spell the end of humanity if they somehow, like, obviously this would be decades away where this could actually happen, but if artificial intelligence gets to the point where they just start replicating and wanting to take over.
Well, they would want, they would have to want too, wouldn't they?
Sure. But I mean, humans evolved from creatures that didn't have those desires.
Yeah. But
so why, if we're creating artificial intelligence this advanced,
isn't some of our, like, you know, thoughts and feelings influenced by chemistry as well?
Yeah.
Like endorphins and dopamine and all that jazz that influences things that you feel to drive you to do certain things. But then a machine wouldn't have that. It would just have pure thought, wouldn't it?
Right, but here's another scenario. What if we create little nanobots that consume, like,
oh, the gray goo scenario? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that is dangerous. Or if we send them out to replicate and explore space, but then something happens and the kind of machine evolve and then I'm coming back this way, it would be nigh impossible to stop. It's a good question, Matt. AI is a very scary area. We've had plenty of authors.
It's a scaria.
Scaria. Scaria, folks.
This, you heard this it coined here first.
This general scaria.
Lucas?
Yeah?
What's happening to all the bees?
I don't know, man. This past summer, or last summer.
Is it like a disease? Or?
Like last summer, they all... Well, they think they might be figuring out that it could be pesticides causing the problem. And it's interfering with their ability to locate or something like that. Like maybe their sense of smell or something like that, so they can't smell the bee juices that led them back to their hive. And they're just kind of flying
getting
away
lost.
And dying. Yeah.
Bees are important, man.
Bees are very important.
I definitely love my honey, too. It's an excellent byproduct of bees.
I love honey. Honey is awesome.
I got some organic raw honey from the Troy Farmers Market a couple weeks ago, and oh my god, it is amazing. It's very delicious.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. Oh yeah, I've been... Yeah, I was at the farmers market one time, and they were inside, because it was the winter.
Yeah.
And there was a stand that had lots of honey. But there were some that were like, honey was like kind of dried up and like in crumbly bits, kind of like taffy or something like that, or fudge. And I was like, you're able to just like take these chunks and eat them. And I was like, oh man, I want this now.
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to try that next
but
time.
I didn't have any cash on me, so I couldn't buy it. But screw hornets and wasps. Those are...
Yeah, they're nasty.
Nasty. Just want to mess with you because they're evil. Evil.
They're malicious.
If it's fuzzy, it's a bee, guys. It's a bee. If it's not fuzzy, kill it.
Sums it up pretty well. Yeah.
Next topic.
Ghosts of America. The ghosts that I love.
This is from Coryton, Tennessee. At the Coryton Road Railroad crossing is an old abandoned brick building. There is a ghost inside that building. You can see it from the street in the very early morning hours. You will clearly see a person looking out from behind the broken windows, and after a moment, he's gone. If you go closer to check, you will find that there's nobody in the building. It's very freaky and scary. It's a scaria. I have seen this ghost 3 times. I went to check it out after I heard about it from a friend. I didn't believe him, but I decided to check it out anyway. and it turned out to be true.
What?
Any comment? That's it.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Was this new, or did we do one where this guy was named Boo?
Yes.
Okay. I live in an area where I need binoculars to watch my neighbor mow their lawn.
What? Okay.
I've heard and seen my fair share of things in the woods, but theirs takes the cake. Honestly, if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it either. Outside of my house, there is often a man with a lantern. I can tell he doesn't want to hurt us. He's never advanced past my window. I'd only noticed him because of the bright light. Now, this was when my bedroom was on the first floor. I lived in the second floor now, and have experienced many things.
Wow, descriptive.
First, I've had handprints on my window. When I say second floor, I mean at least 60-foot drop. We haven't gotten a...
60?
Yep. That's a high... That is a high second floor.
On the second floor.
It has a high second floor.
I can't... I'm trying to imagine
that's
a
like,
building...
That's third floor.
I think it would be higher than that.
Fourth?
60 feet?
Yeah, like a... Yeah. Yeah, it's what? 10 feet for per story? Probably, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like a
60 feet.
So that's like a mid-sized city skyscraper that we haven't got. Maybe it's on a hill or something.
I want to see this house.
Yeah. There's a handprint picture. In between my window panes were only insects and seemed to find passage to and then die. This is a horrible picture, but it was only visible angle to take a photo. Secondly, I often experience sleep paralysis. I'll often be having the most idiotic of dreams, but awake so violently that I can't breathe, can't move, nothing. All I can do is sweat and fear for my life for a reason I have no idea about. I believe this is different being than the lantern man. This thing wants to hurt me.
Wow.
No, you just said you had sleep paralysis. That's what's going on.
Summary.
Just wave your tongue like I did.
Dude watches his neighbors mow their lawn
yeah,
with
that
binoculars.
First line, I live in an area where I need binoculars to watch my neighbor mow his lawn. Why do you
not, I
need?
Would need. I need. As in, this is something this dude does.
Yep. All the time.
Haunted America, folks.
Haunted America. Well, I think that wraps it up, Matt.
Well, it's been a fun one.
It has been a fun one. Especially concerning CERN camp. Well, folks, thanks
My
for listening.
Say I cannot confirm or deny what happened at CERN camp.
If you enjoy this episode, may I suggest you go to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also hop to subscribe on iTunes and the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help out this show. If you're a fan, you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter at Jellycast. And finally, any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, leave them in the comments section or send me an email at psychojellyfish.com. It's been a fun one, folks.
See you at CERN camp.
Keep it psycho.
Next topic.
All right, everybody.
Well, this will probably be out after the Kickstarter is finished. But if it makes a master... Ulysses Gonzalez,
a good friend of ours and local actor and creative dude,
is in a pretty good pilot about a music studio done in the mockumentary style of The Office and Parks and Rec and other programs, and soon to be released Muppet Show.
All right, these are extraneous details. Our friend Yuli is making a really cool series called Mix and Master. It's on Kickstarter now, but the deadline for donating is almost up. Check it out anyway. Go on YouTube. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Search Mix Ampersand Master. Spaces in between.
Yeah. He usually plays a guy who's the bodyguard of a singing duo called Green Eggs and Hamilton. And you see Yuli being cool.
That's really all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, just show your support. Watch it. Give him a billion views.
Support indie stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even, even Inspector Spacetime failed 3 Kickstarters.
Got to roll with the punches. I got to tell you when we saw Paul.
Oh, that was Paul.
Oh, my God.
The Highwayman.
It was freaking hilarious. So, me, Bubba, and Dallas went to Beer Garden, right? And
I like that. They have awesome fries.
Yeah, it's right near where you work.
Yeah.
But we got there before Dallas, right? And Dallas was wearing, like, this dark red polo type thing.
Okay.
So we're sitting at the bar waiting for Dallas. Paul stands right behind Bubba, like 2 inches behind him, and just like is standing there. And neither of us saw him, but he was wearing a dark red polo just like Dallas.
and he had like his hair slicked back and everything, just like Dallas. So Bubba turns around. He's like, "Oh, hey, Dallas!" Oh! Oh my god, it was hilarious.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. He
did he move back?
Temporarily. I think he said he's going out to Seattle, or
that's his next acting destination?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly where. I think it might have been Seattle. But he's going out and doing his thing. He's still keeping pretty busy.
Well, if he sticks around, I'd love to put him in something. Get him on this or actually probably Know Your Turns would probably be the best, but
Paul's the man.
Paul's the man.